Well, let's go ahead and get into Word a little bit this morning. How about that?
Yeah.
Acts chapter 3. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. We've been talking about, starting last week, Beatty got up and he shared about rising up. The thesis of our series being that because Jesus rose from the dead, we are able to rise up. He makes it possible for us to rise up out of our situation and to follow after God and what he wants us to do in our lives. And so he talked about that last week. And so we're going to continue on with that. But before I read our passage, I want to just say this. I believe that we are saved by grace through faith, that not of itself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no man should boast. So I'm going to just qualify everything I say today, but I believe it's only by the blood of Jesus, our subsequent repentance, that a person can be forgiven of their sin and go to heaven when they die. I don't believe we can work our way in. I don't believe we can work hard to get Jesus to love us more. So when I get up here and start saying stuff, I don't want to have to qualify everything I say going forward. Okay, so I'm telling you right up front. Jesus loves you as much right now as he did the day you first got saved. Or even if you're not saved, he still loves you to save. So you can't make yourself love him anymore. You can't make God love you anymore than he loves you right now. So if I say something challenging you today about the fact that we have a free will,
yes,
and we have decisions that we have to make in order to rise up, then don't think I'm trying to say you got some kind of works. You got to prove yourself to God, okay? Okay, so let's start with that. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Let me read through this. Follow along with me, and I'm going to read through it. Then we're going to go back and go through some verses here and highlight some things in that. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, which is about 3 p.m., and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms, which is charitable gifts, of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." He said Jesus Christ the Nazarene because Jesus was a popular name in those days, to make sure they knew who he was talking to about. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? And why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you help me this morning, Lord, as I communicate your word. I pray you would have your way in us this morning. Give us ears to hear what you're saying in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go back to verse 1 again. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, and he was set down there every day. Obviously, we have a situation where this man, and later on it says that he was over 40 years old, was sat down. He had a situation from his very birth, he was lame. Now, in our modern society here in America, we have a social security net for people who are disabled. We have government assistance for them. Back then, they didn't have a lot of this kind of assistance for them, so for a way he could supplement his income was to go beg. So he had a permanent life issue that he had to deal with. And so I can only imagine psychologically what it was like for him to not be able to live what they would consider a normal life in that time. Because much of what you did was physical labor back in those days. And so he didn't have that. So I can only imagine that, because in some of the Greek society, Roman society, if someone was disabled, they would believe that somehow God had just judged you. You had done something wrong and God was punishing you. And it even leaked into a little bit of the Jewish view that some Jews, not all, believed that somehow it was because of sin in your family or something because you were disabled. And so, but that's even then, the Old Testament really teaches a lot about helping those in need and how you should take care of those that are handicapped and take care of those who are lame. And so even though the Old Testament really encouraged the taking care of the folks, still there was this cultural embarrassment, have you, during that time, where it's almost looked upon as shameful that you would receive alms, that you would sit and beg for that. So he's not, so right off the bat, this man can only imagine the kind of pain that he may have felt in his life through years of shame, people looking down on him. Even though he was at a good place, if you're going to ask for money, going over to where they go into the temple is probably a great place, because everybody's reminded they need to give to the poor, give to people who are in need. So he's has some amazing challenges to him right off the bat. And here in verse 3, it says, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. Now, obviously, he didn't know who Peter and John was. Obviously, with everything that had been happening in Jerusalem, I guess because he was lame, because he was handicapped, he was not able to go and see and hear about a lot of the stuff that was going on. If he heard about it, he at least was not involved with it. And what was interesting about this time in history is when they went into the temple to worship, they all had a wallet or they had a money bag or something. They were supposed to hide that when they walked in. They weren't supposed to show that when they walked in. So the man, when he was asking for alms, he didn't know if they had any money or not, because they couldn't show that they did. And so then it goes on and says, and he began to pay, and he goes, excuse me, but Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. It's like he was making a calling out moment. He said, pay attention. You know, it's like your child when you're trying to get their attention. You know, I had to take my child, my son, my little girl's on the front, but my son, and I had to say that, look at me. Look at me. I'm about to tell you something that's important. Didn't I just tell you da, 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 da? And you know what his comeback on me these days is? I have short-term memory loss. Yeah, you got short-term memory loss, all right. You keep having it. We're going to have some talks. But anyway, so I get right in and say, in your face, speak. I'm telling you something critically important right now. And that's what they were doing right here. Peter was telling this man, he was already looking up at it. Look at me. Look at me. I'm about to tell you something that's going to radically change your life. And he's looking at him in a stern manner and began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now, he got something from them, all right. It wasn't money. But Jesus said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. Now, let me just tell you this. I don't believe he said, you know, silver and gold I have not. Oh, get up in the name of Jesus and walk. I believe it was forceful and powerful. Get up in the name of Jesus and walk. And I'm sure everybody heard it. When you're not ashamed of Jesus, you don't care who hears. And he said, get up and walk. There was this release of faith and power at that moment where he was able to call out, rise up, old man. We'll get that in a second. But there was a release of faith. There was a release of power when he said that. And what's amazing is we also have the Spirit of God just as he did. How about that? And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. He reached out, He reached out, and let me tell you something. He had to, at that moment, that man had to make a decision to reach his hand up and touch the hand of Peter. He had to make a decision. He could have just said, "Oh, I'm not worthy to be touched." Not receive what God had. He had a free will to make a decision. Now, I don't always know how the sovereignty of God and man's free will works together, but I know we got a free will, and I know we've got to make decisions about what we're going to do. Are you going to let the Lord reach out to you? Are you going to touch His hand? Are you going to make a decision to have faith? Sometimes you just have to make a decision to have faith. And then you have to believe that because you've made that decision, He's going to strengthen your ankles and your feet, and you're going to rise up. So this man decided he's going to take his hand and seize in his hands. And he said, with a leap, I believe in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There's three components of this. It's like actors in the play. You've got Peter and John, those two guys. You got this man, and you got the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit taking place in here. And he said, with a leap, he stood up and began to walk, and he entered the temple walking and leaping and praising God. He wasn't even allowed to go into the temple while he was lame. But now, because of that, he went leaping into the temple, into the promised land. Into the temple, whatever had held him back in the past, he was able to go forward and do it. And go forward in God in this. He made a decision to leap up. He felt the power of God. The grace of God responded to him. He responded to it, and he showed some faith. Sometimes we got to show some faith. Sometimes we got to make decisions to rise up. That when God reaches out His hand to us, we grab it and let Him pull us. But sometimes we want to sit in our own misery. Some people like being miserable. I don't like being miserable. I like being happy. He shows some faith. The man made a decision. He reached out. He took his free will and he said, yes, I make a decision to serve God today. I make a decision to rise up out of my situation. I'm making that decision. I'm not talking about success and failure here. We all have our success and failures. I'm of the mindset that if you are seeking after God, if He reaches out His hand and you jump up and you leap up after Him, even if you fail, you're going to land on your feet. You're going to land on your feet because we're all going to have success and failure. So that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about responding to God, that you're going to have in life rise up moments. You're going to have rise up moments where God is going to come to you and He's going to say, are you going to reach out? Are you going to grab my hand? Are you going to let me strengthen your ankles and your feet? And are you going to leap up? There's going to be moments in your life that's going to happen. I have a litany of moments in my life. There's a couple of moments in my life that forever changed the course of my life at those moments. Now, it was the grace of God. Granted, I couldn't do it on my own. But we have a free will, and we have to make some decisions and go after God on some things. Like, for instance, I'm going to go back into the old archives. Can I go back into the old archives for a minute? When I first got out of college, I was at NC State. Forgive me, y'all. I went to State. They're forgiven. I don't know if I need to be forgiven. But anyway, we'll move on. I asked for it. I love ECU, though. Don't get me wrong. I was a campus minister out there for a long time. I was one of those reluctant ministers. I didn't want to go into the ministry. Mike can tell you, they had to pray me through and twist my arm. I mean, I wanted to serve God in the business realm. I mean, I believe, I've never been one to think that one calling was higher than another. I think we all have equal callings across the board. No matter what you do, if you're in God's will, you're obeying the calling on your life. It's just that I didn't personally want to be a minister. I wanted to go into business or go into something other than that. So I was reluctant to do it. So I said, okay, Lord, let me go to seminary. The Lord's like, no, you're not going to seminary. I said, I thought that's what you're supposed to do. I want to go to seminary. The Lord said, no, aren't you going to campus ministry? Oh, no, not that. Please, not that. I eventually went into seminary and got my degree and all that. But at that point in my life, God said, you need to do it. Okay, so I went. This is going somewhere. Hold on here. I have my rise up moment's coming. All right, hold on a second. Then I'm going to share another rise up moment after that. You're going to enjoy even more. But anyway, this rise up moment, I went out and got trained to go raise support. And I grew up in a working family, class family. I mean, my dad's a truck driver. You don't ask people for money. You don't do that. You know, and I know it was even back in 1988, my goodness, I'm giving away my age. You know, it was not as acceptable as it is today to go out and have support. And so most churches don't have the money to pay campus ministers. So God will give you an opportunity to raise support and all that kind of stuff. So I did that very reluctantly, but knowing I was obeying God, not wanting to do it, went out and was a miserable failure for the first 4 or 5 months. Mike was who's founded his church, Mike and Mary Beth. Mike was the associate pastor of the church at the time. Called me up. You remember that phone call? He called me. He has remembered. It was a critical moment in my life. But anyway, he called me up, and I'd only raised $100 a month. And even in 1988, you couldn't live with $100 a month. I mean, come on. You know, and so I was a complete failure, miserable failure at it. And I did the best I could. I was broken. I was crying. I go, God, I did everything you told me to do. And and even then, God honored a request that I had. I said, Lord, if I ever have to ask my parents to pay one bill of mine, I'm done with ministry. One bill, I'm done. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask your parents to pay for bills. Those are in ministry. I'm not saying that's wrong. But for me, it was a conviction that I had. So once I got through college and went through my training and began to raise support, I said, Lord, I'm not asking my parents for one thing. I was living like a nomad. I was riding, sleeping on people's couches, going from city to city, raising my money and believing God. But I was a failure. I got the phone call. Look, Eddie, if you don't get a breakthrough soon, we're going to have to take you off the trail. We're going to have to set you down. We're going to have to, you might have to pursue some other opportunities for your life. Now, part of me was like, well, yeah, that'd be fine. I don't want to do it anyway. But the other part of me was like, that's not what God's telling me. And I got to obey. I remember going before Jesus, said, only for you, Jesus. There ain't another human. I thought a human being alive I'd do this for. I'll do it for you, Jesus. And Jesus said, that's all I'm asking you. Do it for me. So I was down to one final contact. A friend of a friend gave me a contact in another city. And I looked at this one phone number and I said, God, either you do it this time or I'm done. I had a rise up moment right then. Do I just quit now, forget about this? Or do I rise up and have faith in God? Am I going to make a decision at this point? Now, believe me, I have blown it so many other times. I didn't want to mess this one up. All right, so I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to give it one more shot. And I was like the man who reached out his hand, and God grabbed his hand and pulled him up and strengthened his feet and his ankles. Let me tell you, I know I'm talking about going into ministry, but many of you, this relates to you as far as your business. No matter what you're in, this is for you as well. I'm just giving you an example from my personal life. I called him, and this one contact, it was a friend of a friend. I called this guy who opened up another contacts. And eventually, I just walked into something and got all my support. God provided for me. Now, I barely was making it even then, but back then, I still had some money then, though. God provided such that what was funny is I finally, as God broke through in my rise up moment, and he gave me the support, it really did set the course of my life. Here I am now. That was a course that he had for me, and by the grace of God, he did it. I remember calling up the guy who was our mentor at that time, and I said, hey, look what happened, yada, yada, yada. So they sent out a cassette tape. Y'all remember what cassette tapes are? Y'all know what a cassette tape is? Raise your hand if you know what a cassette tape is. All right. Y'all are really versed here. Y'all are good. But back in the Ancient of Days times, there was the cassette tapes, and he got some recordings, and he said, all right, Andy, I want you to make a recording and send it to me of your testimony. So I gave him my recording and sent it up there. And then they put it on this all these cassettes, and they would send it out to all the people in ministry who were struggling and who needed help and support teams and yada, yada, yada. And he started getting phone calls, he told me, from people saying, who was that country guy that got that testimony? You think I have a strong accent now? You should have heard me back then. And then they were like, who is that guy? He's really encouraged us. And so I went to the meeting. They had some follow-up meeting. And we're standing in the meeting. The guy goes, that's him right there. Stand up. Andy, this is the guy. This is the guy. So God took me from failure and broke me through. But it was a rise-up moment for me. Every one of you got those moments in your life. It was a rise-up moment. My rise-up was to obey God. That was what my rise-up moment was. To obey Him and trust Him in the midst of my failure. That was what it was. 1990, we came here and started the church. I was on the team that Mike and Mary Beth came and started the church, and I was on the team. I was the campus minister at ECU. I was the first campus minister at ECU. I spent more time on ECU's campus than at NC State. That's why I sort of converted over. I converted to Pirates, except when I'm talking to a state person, and then I feel like a traitor. So I decided to say something different then. I'm two-faced. But anyway, that's a rise-up moment. That's a rise-up moment. Two-faced. Anyway, I'm going to. The Lord covers me on that rise-up moment, all right? So, you know, I don't know if I like that comment. Anyway, we'll talk about it later. Where was I when I was so rudely interrupted by these people in the front row? Oh, we moved here. All right, I'm really going to the archives here, guys. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to give you a little bit more modern stuff. I'll tell you what, my rise-up moments have gotten more severe as I got older. More intense as I got older. So I look back at now, but you know, the significance of that, it did impact the direction of my life at that point. So we're here starting the church. I moved here, and I know many of you have been around behind. We had what I refer to, I don't know if Mike refers to it, is the infamous Easter service of 1991. It had to be the worst Easter service known to man. It was the worst Easter service I'd ever been to. It had to be the worst in North Carolina, if not the country. It was terrible. It was so bad, we got together afterwards and said, do we want to keep doing this? I'm not kidding. We had a meeting. Do we want to continue to do this church? Should we do this or should we not? And to Mike and Mary Beth's credit, they had a rise-up moment and they rose up. And they stuck with it, and now here we are today, owning a built property and everything else that we're on. But I had a rise-up moment in the midst of that. As a young, inexperienced, didn't-know-anything guy on campus, walking around, nobody wanted to talk to me, nobody wanted to go to my Bible study, nobody felt like a failure on campus, couldn't get anybody to come. Y'all are blessed. There was nothing when I got here. Praise God I was able to leave 150 when I stopped. But we were, you know, it was a rise-up moment for me because I remember we're talking about should we stay or should we go? Should I stay or should I go? Anyway, and I remember, I don't know where this came from. It had to be the Holy Spirit. I don't know where it came from. I told Mike, I said, I'm not going back to Raleigh. I'm gonna if you leave or you stop the church, I'm staying here and starting over. Now, I don't know who that was. I mean, I'm the guy who didn't want to come down here. I'm the guy who wanted to escape from Wilson. To me, escaping from Wilson was like the movie Escape from New York. That was getting out of Wilson to me. Anybody ever heard seen the movie Escape from New York? I'm not saying it's a Christian movie, nor am I endorsing it. But I'm just saying it was like that when I left Wilson. We say Wilson, baby. Come on. I'm not trying to slam Wilson. Because we have people here who love Wilson. I just don't. But anyway, we have people who love Wilson, and they're from Wilson. So I'm just saying, to me, it was escape from New York, baby. I never was coming back to Eastern North Carolina. I was done. I was in Raleigh. I'm happy. It's beautiful up here. That's growing. Why would I ever go back to Eastern North Carolina? And then Mike prayed me in, and they all prayed me in, and I came back. So the guy who never wanted to come said he wasn't leaving. But that was a rise-up moment for me. Where I had to make a decision to grab a hold of it. I looked at Mike and I said, I'm not going back. I said, but if you keep this church going, I'm with you to the end. Remember that? I'm with you to the end. Now, if you leave, I'm released from that commitment, and I'm going to stay right here, and I'm going to start over. But as long as you stay, I'm your man. Your God is my God. That's what I told him. And that was a rise up moment for me. I still look back and think, it had to be the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me. How did I go from that to that? It was a rise up moment for us. Some of you got some rise up moments in your life. Some of you got some rise up moments right now in your life. And you're going to have to make a choice to rise up. You're going to have to make a choice to stand on God's word and to trust him. You're going to have your free will to say, I'm going to trust you. There's some businessmen in here today. You're at a rise up moment in your life. There's some teachers. You're at a rise up moment in your life. There's some mothers. You're at a rise up moment in your life. If you're not in one right now, you just got through one. Or you're going to be in another one before long. But you're going to have rise up moments throughout your life. And sometimes they're not as critical as others, but sometimes they direct the course of your life. I've had two early on that directed the course of my life. And I've had some more. I'm going to probably in the next couple weeks that I've preached that, give you another example of having to rise up in those moments. But you have a decision to make in order to do that. And then let me read this last three passages. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. In other words, what a testimony he was, because he chose to rise up and take the hand of Jesus and let him strengthen his ankles and his feet. You got to let Jesus do it for you. Jesus works with us. He works with us. But we have to say, I want more than this. I want better than this. Even if you're not a Christian today, Jesus wants to raise you up. He wants to give you a future and a hope. And it says, and they were taking note of him as being one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wonder and amazement. When you let Jesus lift you up, people around you are going to be amazed with wonder and amazement. I may be down and out right now, but I choose to believe when it seems impossible. That's the hardest kind of believing right there. That is the hardest kind to believe when it doesn't look possible. But you can make a decision to trust God. You, as a human being, have a free will to choose, am I going to trust God or not? And while he was clinging to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them in the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? What a testimony of honoring God in the midst of him taking you through. We had a tough moment there in 1991, but we're here standing today because at that moment, we rose up. And it impacted hundreds, if not thousands, of lives since then. I'm saying because of that. And every one of you have those rise up moments in your life. And like I said, some of you are there now. Some of you got some coming. And some of you may have just gone through some. And let me just say, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian in here today, and you say you're sort of wondering about this faith, let me tell you, this is your rise up moment. Are you going to believe God right now that Jesus died on that cross, that he rose from the dead, that because of what he did on the cross, you can be saved and forgiven of your sin, that he has a future for you and a hope for you, so that when you come to your next rise up moment, you're not going to do it by yourself. You have a God that can pull you up by his hand and strengthen your feet and strengthen your ankles and give you that. And if you're a Christian in here today and you're in the middle of something right now, you can make a decision right now. I'm going to believe God no matter how bad it looks to me in the natural. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to reach out the hands to him and let him pull me up and let him be all that he's called to be, so that I can be all that I've called to be. Is it going to be easy? No. I got some stories that's way harder than what I just went through. But each moment as I look back, God, by the grace of God, I was able to rise up. But it started with my making a decision as a human being to go after our God. So let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the grace of God that is so prevalent with us, to help us in our moments to rise up, to go after you. I thank you, Lord, that you're a good God to us. I thank you that you're a faithful God to us. And just as you were faithful to work through Peter and heal the lame man and he rose up, so will you do for us, for those who reach out to you. Lord, so will you do for them. And I ask you in Jesus' name that you would just come and encourage and comfort everyone. Comfort those who need it. If you're in here today and you say, I need to get my life right with Jesus today, I need to pray and ask him to come into my life and repent of my sin. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Is anybody in that want to pray with me today? If there's anybody in here today and you say, Eddie, I'm at a rise up moment. I need Jesus right now. I need him to intervene in my life. I need him to pull me up out of this mire that I'm in. I need help. Would you raise your hand so I can just pray for you? Thank you. There's a lot of people around. Lord, you see all these hands of people who are at that moment in their life where they got to make a decision to follow after you. Encourage them today. Give them the faith to rise up at this moment. Give them the faith, Lord Jesus. Give them the hope to hang on and to reach out to you this morning. Just as the lame man reached up to Peter in the book of Acts, so, Lord, can you rise up? Help them to rise up today. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.